Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that it's because of your new life you have given us. Now we can come before you and to know you. We ask that your Holy Spirit enlighten our eyes so that we can see. We also ask that you touch our hearts so that we are drawn to you. We commit the whole time into your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We thank the Lord that He has given us new life. Last time I talked about eternal life. Yes, our God has given us eternal life, but sometimes when we feel we are so weak, it seems that God has left us alone. Even though we have eternal life, but in this sinful world, we have to struggle a lot. But actually, that is not the case. Our Lord has not only given us eternal life, but also He has given us a body life. That is, He has put us in church. So there's church life we are in. So we have to know, what does it mean to have a church life? Even though we always gather together, but are we really having a real church life? What is church? What is church life? Do we know? Now, in order to remind those, or maybe many months ago, I talked about eternal life. If I ask you again, what is eternal life? What is the most important thing about eternal life? Can you remember? Wanda, can you remember? What do you think? God has given you eternal life so that you can live forever, isn't it? And any other people remember anything? Johnny, I ask you this time. Eternal life. Sorry? Uh-huh. Actually, let's have a look at John 17:3. John 17:3. Lord Jesus is telling us what eternal life is. In here it says, what Jesus said, and this is eternal life. He's giving us a definition. That they know you, we can come to know God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So in Jesus' mind, He has given us eternal life so that we can know God. Imagine a blind person, a deaf person, he cannot see, he cannot hear. But suddenly one day, he was given the sight, given the hearing. Suddenly he can see everything. Suddenly he can be aware. So eternal life, why would God give us eternal life? Not just to live eternally, but having eternal life, we can communicate with Him. We can talk to Him, we can listen to Him. So don't think when you have eternal life, you come to the meeting, it's for, eternal life is so that I can read the Bible. I have to pray. I have to do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. No, in the mind of our Lord, He has given you eternal life so that you can communicate with Him. Remember, just for example, a father holding a baby. The baby opened his eyes. The baby can see many things, but in the heart of the father, hey, baby, my child, I want you to see me. I'm waving to you. I'm talking to you. Listen, I'm talking to you. So the baby having the life in the heart of the father, I want to communicate with you. Not just the baby, now you can watch cartoon, now you can taste milk. No, not just for that, but to communicate. So eternal life, you can say, is more about relationship with God, isn't it? How about church life? Let's have a look at the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. But the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 to 22 is a very long passage. And the book of Ephesians, Paul talked to us about the church. In verse 11, here, therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, Gentiles mean those who are not Jews, so we are Gentiles. So the you means Gentiles here. Call the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ. So we were separated from God, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So this reminds us, we, when we were not saved, we have no hope and without God in the world. Okay? So let's look at 14. For he himself is our peace, who has brought us both one and has broken down in the flesh the dividing wall of hostility. For he himself is our peace. Suddenly he talked about our peace, who had made us. How about us? Now you refers to the Gentiles, the us refers to Jews and the Gentiles. The two now becomes one in Christ. Let's continue to look down the verse further down to 16 onwards. And might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross. So the Jews and the Gentiles becomes one. So in the mind of God, what is church? Church is Jews and the Gentiles now become one. And what happened? Now in verse 19, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens. In some Bible, they call foreigners. But you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Now notice here, if eternal life is about you and God building a relationship, church life is about us. It's about the Jews and the Gentiles. It's about you coming here. And it talks about here. Of course, this particularly refers to the Jews and the Gentiles. But look about here. No longer strangers and aliens. So I want to ask you to think about when you come here for some times, come to the church gathering, do you feel you are a stranger here? Do you feel you are an alien here? In here, we can see the stress is that once we come to not just eternal life, we have a new identity, a new status in Christ. What is this new identity? We are related, fellow citizens with the saints. Notice your relationship with the saints. So eternal life links you between you and God. But also when we become a Christian, we are related to one another. So when you come here, the church life, don't think about the activities. Last time I mentioned about sometimes we got the wrong ideas about church life. When we talk about church life, oh, church life is about Christians gathering together, singing songs, reading Bible, doing Bible studies, praying together. We think about the activities. And we think about what I can get from all these activities. Sometimes we think, the church is a spiritual school. I can learn something from the gathering. Thinking about you, learn something. Thinking about, I'm spiritually weak. I need help. So thinking about church gathering is a spiritual clinic. As I come to the church meeting, I will be stronger. Spiritual gymnasium, spiritual gym helps me to become spiritual fit. Or I can have a great spiritual meal when I come here. So as a spiritual restaurant, it's all about you. It's all about you gaining something. I'm sorry to tell you, church life is not about you, just about you gaining something. It's about your relationship to one another. This is the body life. So, if you just think you are coming just like to a restaurant, you're just like a customer coming to the restaurant, you eat and you go, isn't it? You gain something and you go. What happens here? What just now we read about you citizens with saints and members of the household of God. Do you feel you are citizens? Do you feel you are strangers here? Let me put it this way. So often when we come to in the city, you can see some visitors coming in coaches, isn't it? When they come down the coaches, they take photos everywhere. And then, oh, a nice harbour bridge. Look at it, beautiful harbour bridge. Take some pictures. And when they look at some part of the city, they don't like, oh, look at that, what a mess. They don't like it, they'll leave it. But do they care about Sydney at all? No, they are just passers-by. They are tourists. They are visitors. Do they really care about the policy in here? No, they will say, it's not my business. I don't care about this. I don't really care. How about you? When you come to here, do you care about brothers and sisters here? Actually, I was thinking about doing a little test. How do you feel about here? If I put a drop of I drop some rubbish on the ground, when people come in, I want to see who is going to pick that up. You just walk by, you are a visitor. You just walk by, you're a foreigner. This is not my business. This is not my place. But if you feel this is your place, it belongs to us, you will pick it up. Are you a visitor? Do you belong to here? If so often, sometimes when you come, for even for a few years, you don't have a sense of belonging. Do you feel you belong to the brothers? I don't mean you belong to this building. I mean, do you feel that you belong to this group of brothers and sisters? The one sitting next to you. Do you care about them? Do you have a bonding with them? Or do you always keep a distance to them? Come, listen, and then quickly, once the meeting finished, boom, before people raise their head, oh, you disappeared already. You leave so soon. Do you want to have bonding with brothers and sisters? Now, what happens if you don't have a relationship with brothers and sisters? I want to do a demonstration. Okay, now Peter, come. Demonstration. Okay. You stand like this. Okay. Now, he's alone. Okay. So, if I want to pluck him away, easily surrender to me, isn't it? Now, you can name some friends here. Ask them to come up. Joseph. Some more of your friends. Strong guys. What? You need two or three. Come on. Do you know them? Or are you a stranger here? What? Timothy. Louder.
Timothy.
I need two more. One more.
Caleb.
Caleb. Oh, brotherly love. Okay, now you guys hold him side by side. Hold him. You can hold Timothy. Okay, now I try to pull him. You guys to pull two towards me. Okay, one, two, three. Okay, now they are so strong. Okay, thank you for the demonstration. So, this demonstration, I hope you do remember. If you come and go without bonding with brothers and sisters, Satan say, you are no match, easily taken you away, pluck you out. But if you come, not just come to the meeting, you have spiritual bonding with brothers and sisters. So hard to pull you away, because you are well protected. You are well supported by the body of Christ. So church life is important. Not just you come and listen and go, but you come and form spiritual bonding with brothers and sisters. And then you can be protected and strong in the Lord. Now, when I think of about the term sense of belonging, I think of a few other groups. One of the groups is called SAS. Anyone know what SAS stands for? Special Air Service. Tell me what SAS means. Special Air Service. What do they do? You don't know? How come you know the name? It's the British Special Force, isn't it? They protect the country against terrorists. So if there are some terrorists, they send in the SAS. They're all dressed or in dark and machine guns. But if you are in USA, what do they send? Do you know?
FBI?
Better than that. The SEAL team, S-E-A-L. Do you know? It's the SEAL team they sent to capture Bin Laden. The SEAL team. There are a few special forces in America. The Rangers, the 101, you don't know, okay? The SEAL team, okay, that's a special force. Now, if you can join this special force, you won't have any problem with sense of belonging. You are so proud. Why? Because you know that this special force, their goal is to protect the country. And if you are just a very good soldier, you have to apply to join this special force. And if they have chosen you, you will feel the great honor. But still, you have to go through the training. There are three phases. The first phase is called the Hell Weeks. It seems to be about 6 to 8 weeks. A lot of difficult training. You have to suffer a lot. You have to run on the sand, run a few kilometers every day. You have to suffer hunger, coldness, everything. You can sleep maybe 4 hours a day, and you have to suffer for a long time. So by the time you finish phase one, and then phase two, all about the swimming, and then phase three, you have to go through a lot of hard training. More than half of the people will drop out. Only a limited amount of people can finish the whole course, and then they will be really proud. So they will, for you to go through all this, you have to be a very devoted person. You can't be part-time SEAL. There's no call part-time SEAL. You can't spend time working in a restaurant. No, you have to spend all the time in the training, very difficult training. You have to sacrifice a lot of your time. Okay? And not only that, after all the training, you don't want to be just stand by all the time. You want to take part in the action. So, there's a mission coming. We have to capture Bin Laden. Then I think it would be a very excitement for all these people in the SEAL. Send me. I want to go. Let me do it. I can do it. I want to do it. Okay? Not like Christian. Why me? Going to preach the gospel? Not me. Why me? You say, I will go. Okay? And also, they when you are in the SEAL team, they really know teamwork. Someone may be driving the helicopter. Someone may be a sniper. Someone carry the guns. Someone may use a grenade, or someone may do all this scouting work. So everybody appreciating the professions of the others. So teamwork. It's not about who can shoot down most terrorists. It's not about individual. It's about the whole team can accomplish the mission. So when people come into this group, they are always proud. They'll tell their family that many people would like to tell me the story. Tell me how's your work. I know a friend who's a policeman in Hong Kong. I always say, have you ever fired a gun? Have you ever faced criminals? I always like to hear stories about, but he never tells me. So if you are part of that team, you feel so proud. But how about Christians today? We belong to the church. What do the church do? Do we have something proud of? What do we do as the body of Christ? Do you know? You don't know? Then what is our role here on earth? What is our responsibility? What is our duty here on earth? Just coming to the meeting? Just coming to the meeting? Is that what you think of? So, as the church gathers, if go and search the Bible. I can name a few. Okay? When we gathered, we pray for, God's kingdom will come, your will be done on earth. That means the church, as we gathered, we are executing God's purpose or God's will on earth. Do we see that we have such importance in the work of God? Now the SEAL team knows that they have to deliver the hostage, save the hostages maybe, get the enemies down. But as the church, do we feel we have something to do? Do we feel that we have to save the lost from the hands of Satan? Do we feel that we have to build one another up in Christ? Do we feel that we have to prepare the coming kingdom of God? Do we feel that we have an important role on earth? Or is it God save you just to make you to come every Sunday to listen to sermon? Is it like that? Is that a punishment? No. We should know that we have a role on earth. Our existence is more important than SEAL, than SAS. When I was a kid, when I watched movies, when the big guys come in, flipping their identification, FBI. Everybody, make way for the FBI. Oh, they're FBI. Or CIA. Oh, everybody's CIA. They're coming. Who are we? God's representative. We have a duty to bring in the kingdom of God. Do we feel proud about this? If you feel proud about this, do you feel, thank God I was chosen. Thank God I have the honor. I'm willing to be trained to know God's will. Why is reading Bible so difficult? Because you feel that I have already got a ticket to heaven. Why do I still need to study the whole Bible? But if you feel, I need to know the way of the Lord. I need to know God's purpose. I want to go through it. Some Christians are just happy to know one or two, a few verses. Oh, that's enough. I can use that. Oh, John 3:16, no problem. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Okay, I know this verse already. Oh, yeah, the last verse, amen. I've finished the whole book. I can, from the beginning to the end, I know. Just the beginning and just the end. The few words. Do you think the SEAL team would feel, I got two bullets, enough. One bullet can kill the enemy, so I got two bullets, enough. And you are happy to go in the battle with two bullets? No. You want more. You want to know about each book of the Bible. Study it well, to know the way of God. Know God's plan. How to save people. How to defend our faith. You want to be trained. And you need devotion to do that. Why do we become Christians and have no devotion to be a better Christian? Because we don't know our role. We don't feel we are important in the will of God. We do not prepare ourselves. If today we are studying medicine, you know after 6 or 7 years, you are going to save people, maybe doing operation to save people, then you will really study hard. If you open the abdomen of the people, which is liver, I wonder. Where's the lung? Oh no, is this the lung? Oh, it's bleeding, what should I do? No. You will study really well, prepare yourself really well to do your job. Not until that day when you cut open the body. But today you prepare yourself. So if you really want to serve God, you need devotion. You need commitment. Yes, I'm going to study my Bible. After 5 years, I'm going to read through my whole Bible many times. Do you have such determination in your heart? No determination, I'm afraid you don't have a goal. You don't know your role. You think your role is just coming, sit here every Sunday, and then you go home. That's it. No sense of belonging. Do you desire to do God's will? Or do you just happy to remain standby? Okay, they are serving God. They are serving God. I'm just sit behind and watch. Or just like, remember Isaiah, when God gave him the mission? Who can I send? He said, send me. But if the Lord tells you, you go. Why me? Send her. I'm busy. Send him. What a big difference. It seems that we don't know what we are doing here. If I mentioned about the SEAL team, they really know the teamwork is important to accomplish a mission. Do we know the importance of teamwork? Do we always just think about ourselves? Do we appreciate, oh, someone can play the piano, someone can share, someone can serve at the back, someone can do the AV, someone can move the chair, someone can talk to people, someone can show concert. You observe and appreciate different brothers and sisters because we are a whole team. We need one another. Do you feel you are part of the team? Do you feel? Do you know that you are part of the team? So, come back to the very beginning. If we do not know the role of the church, if we do not know what the church is doing, then you won't like to really participate or contribute to the church life. Because if you think church life is coming, learning, getting something and go without spiritual bondage, with bonding with one another, bonding together to accomplish the God's will on earth, if you don't see that, wow, I guarantee you can't live a very good Christian life. Because you won't be proud. Because why should I be proud? It's a burden, always going on Sunday, listening to the speakers. It's a burden. But if you look at it differently, no, God has saved us for a great purpose. We need to be growing in the Lord. We need to help one another. We need to form spiritual bonding with one another. You feel proud about this. You have a sense of belonging. When the Lord put me here, my responsibility is to bonding with the brothers and sisters next to me. I'm not just doing some job. I cared about them. In the past, in my previous years, I spent a lot of time planning the meeting, planning the Bible study, running program, running conferences after conferences, planning a meeting, planning sermons one after the other. All my mind is about job, 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 job done, finished, and then next job. Later on, I realized it's not the job, it's the people. All this serving of the saints is for the growth of the saints. Just like the mother, she's not thinking about, okay, breakfast, I cook this, and then lunch, I cook this. And then dinner, oh no, not again. I cook this. And then every day, cooking, cooking, cooking. Cooking, cooking, cooking. Thinking about the recipe, thinking about the menu. No. The mother is looking at, oh, my children are enjoying the food. They are growing. They are happy. They are satisfied. Next day, they are growing. They are happy. So the focus is on the people getting the benefits or doing repetition works and works and works. If you have love of the people or you love the job, some people love the job, like the chef. Oh, I'm cooking. If you watch MasterChef, they always talk, oh, it's all about love. Not love of food, it's love of the people you're cooking for. So church life is that. It's not about making a good sermon. It's about you're loving the people you served, connected to them. Because you want to serve them, you want to really know how to serve them, then there's a determination. Oh, if I want to serve them, I need to know God's word. It's difficult to get up in the morning maybe, but still I want to know God's word. So determination, if you know, you don't see the importance of the church, no determination, no training is needed, no sacrifice, and then no change. You just come and go, like the birds in migration. Or winter, go away. Or summer, come back. Sunday, come. Monday to Friday, you go away. Not having bonding with people around you. And if you have no vision, don't know what you are doing, you live a very carefree life. You don't have to be really a good Christian. You can just live any way you want. You can live a very relaxed life. You don't have to be so concerned. You're not caring about people. You don't have to show any concern. Then we will be just like a bunch of unfit soldiers. Yes, we are the SAS of God. But look at you. Oh, this guy is overweight. 200 kilogram unfit soldiers. And some guys come out a skinny boy, unfit soldiers, underweight. So if we do not have the vision, we are just like a bunch of unfit soldiers. We have no skill, overweight or underweight. We have no muscles, spiritual muscles, to do the work of God. We have no skill and we have no sense. Don't know what we are doing. Who is the commander? What does it mean? We have learned nothing. We are just useless. When Satan saw us, you are just a ridiculous army. A laughing stock in the spiritual realm. These guys, for the kingdom of God, they don't know how many books in the Bible. How can they fight for God? So you see the importance of knowing what is the meaning of the church. Can we go to the book of Ephesians again, chapter 1, 17. The book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 17. Now, Paul, in the book of Ephesians, he talked about there's a prayer. Look at this prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. We need the spirit of wisdom, of revelation. We need to see. We need to know Him. About three things. Look, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. So may right now the Lord open your eyes. Enlightened your eyes. So that you can see three things. What is the hope to which He has called you? The hope. God saved you. What is the hope behind it? Let me explain it like this way. So imagine someone who is living in a country, very poor, civil war, drought in the land, hunger problem. No future. Outside is all death, poverty, tragedies around you. Suddenly, that person receives a letter from Australia. Now, we accept you as our citizen. Come to Australia. The calling of that person is, come. You can leave the poverty behind. You can leave the hunger behind. You can leave the war behind. There is peace in Australia. There is abundance in Australia. So when you receive that letter, if you are that person in civil war, oh, what the hope is there. There's a great hope. There's a great future. Living here into another place. Leaving all the sin and to live in God's kingdom. The hope, can you see the promises? All the possibility open before you. The hope of His calling. When God saved you, called you away from this sinful world, what is the hope of His calling? We can share in His glory. We can serve Him. We can know Him. All these possibilities now opened to you. The hope of His calling. And then, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints? Glorious inheritance. God has given us a lot. His life, His joy, His peace. Glorious inheritance. The riches of His glorious inheritance. Can we see the richness that is in church life? If you don't see it, there is no attraction to you to participate in church life. So we really need to open our eyes. May the Lord open our eyes to see the hope, to see the riches. And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power? Now also, the third thing is the power. So there's the hope, the riches, and the power. Towards us who believe according to the working of His great might. So as you entered into church life, we can also experience the resurrected power in your life. Can we look at the verse 20? That He worked in Christ. So that power worked in Christ and raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places. So that power is even stronger than nuclear power that raised Christ from the dead into heaven. Now this power is in you, changing you. Can you experience this power in Christ? So being saved is not something small. We can experience the hope. We can experience the glory. We can experience the power that is inside us. What a great salvation this is. Far above all rule, authority, and power, and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. So being in Christ, in church, is such a glorious position. Do you see it? If you don't see it, then church life is just a burden to you. If you see such a glorious moment, just like the SEAL team, wow, I can join the SEAL team. This is the best. You will fulfill your duty. You will be faithful. But if not, church life to you may be meaningless, even bother, even a burden. Now, let me share a little bit about how I experienced church life. Now, recently, we have to prepare for the planning for the coming camp. So, as I joined in the camp, I shared with a few brothers and sisters. So, during we shared together, I can feel the encouragement for each other. I can see, I can enjoy how we can serve the body of Christ together. I can feel each one supporting, helping, contributing to one another. And during we serve together, I can learn something from others as well. Oh, this idea, there's a better idea, or better way of looking at things, better understanding of the God's words, how to serve people of God. I can learn from the other brothers and sisters. So I can really enjoy church life more. by having serving with brothers and sisters. I have a relationship with brothers and sisters. So this is a blessing. God is building me up when I served Him. Let's look at another passage, Romans chapter 16. So not just I serve. Let's look at Paul. Now, there's a long list here. I want, from verse 1 to verse 16, Paul mentioned many, many brothers and sisters. Notice how Paul knows different brothers and sisters. They know them by name. They know each one, how they are special in the eye of God, how they serve God differently, how they're different, how their gifts, different talents. Some just share, my beloved brothers and sisters, like that. So I want, as we read it down, try to imagine in the mind of Paul how he know many brothers and sisters. And think about you. How many brothers and sisters among here can you know? How do you observe them? Do you realize the gifts they have? Do you realize how faithful they are? Do you notice them, how they serve the Lord? So Paul is not just someone very spiritual and no bonding with other brothers and sisters. No. Look at him, how he bonded, how he appreciates different brothers and sisters, how he relates to one another in Christ. And we should be like that as well. Have a look. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Centria, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many, of myself as well. So, in his mind, Phoebe, a servant in the Lord, serving many people as well. And he knows Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life. He can name these people. He can name them. He knows what their life is, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches. And the Gentile gives thanks as well. Now, also greet the church in their house. Greet my beloved, I don't know how to pronounce it, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. First convert, he knows. Further down, greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Work hard. And he appreciates Mary, who worked hard. She may not have many special gifts, but she worked hard. And Paul noticed someone who worked hard. Do you notice, brothers and sisters, next to you, how he served the Lord? Do you appreciate? Do you feel thankful? Continue. Greet my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. This is another brother, my beloved in the Lord. Greet you, Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, my beloved. I have difficulty to name them as well. So, in here, verse 10, who is approved in Christ, greet those who belong to the family. I greet my kinsmen, blah, blah, blah. Okay? So, a long list there. So if I ask you, can you name 10 or 16 brothers and sisters among here? Can you name each one special about him or her? Do you have difficulty? Actually, I must tell you honestly, the first few years or months when I came here, I have really difficulty to remember the names of you. Still, I can only name maybe 20 to 30 here. I can't name all. So I should work harder. I will continue to know you. Okay? So I hope you continue to know me as well. Not a stranger, not a foreigner. When you come here, you want to form bonding with brothers and sisters. So my message today is very simple. Eternal life is about you and God connected. Church life is about you and brothers and sisters connected together. Just like the demonstration, I can pull easily if you are not bonded with brothers and sisters. Just like I can pull Peter just now. But if he is bonded, he reaches out to brothers and sisters, then when there's a spiritual bonding, he is helped. Not just helped. Not just protected. he may be growing in Christ as well. So church life is about forming spiritual bonding with brothers and sisters. Appreciate them. Know them. Grow with them. Love them. So the coming November camp, don't think, the topic is not interesting, I don't want to go. No, it's not about the topic. It's about a chance. We come together and have fellowship with one another, to know each other, support each other, learn from each other, serve the Lord together. It's about church life. So, please come if you can. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you saved us, and now we can become a part of your body. Show us how to live a life worthy to this calling. Help us to build up spiritual relationship with one another. Help us to relate to one another. Show us, we ask the Holy Spirit to show us the hope, the glory, the power that is in Christ as we call to become your body. We need ask you to draw us to your will. We thank you for this time, but we ask that you continue to bless your church. Bless us, Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.